The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, the football season's starting to get real interesting now. We actually have some teams that really are starting to look legit, and some teams that are starting to look less legit, if you will. So let's get right into week six and the weekend that was of football, beginning with the second London game of the season. This time was the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Chicago Bears, and Caleb Williams is just getting better with each and every game. This guy, he's throwing some dimes now. I mean, I'm not saying, obviously, he's going to continue to have the struggles because he's a rookie. He's going to have issues. But it feels like every game he's getting more and more comfortable with his receivers. I mean, he and Cole Kmet, they were connecting on everything in this one. And Cole Kmet, not only was he playing tight end, but their long snapper actually ended up getting injured, and Kmet had to fill in for him. So he was actually kind of playing double duty yesterday, if you will. But so Kmet, he was having a great game. Caleb Williams having a great game. But this Chicago Bears defense, man, they are doing what the Chicago Bears defense does, and that is kick some motherfucking ass. And then also you got to look at it too with this the Chicago Bears offense. What I think is really starting to get going is actually DeAndre Swift at the running back position. He had 91 yards and a touchdown, and it kind of feels like he's been getting better every game. So Caleb's been getting better every game, and this offense just is starting to click now. And like I said, the defense, they've been playing fantastic since game one. But the Bears got a big win, 35-16 over the Jaguars, who just look terrible. The Jaguars could not get it going in any way, shape, or form. They did go up 3-0, and then after that, it was the second quarter, and basically the Bears just went off from there and never looked back. So the Bears got a big win, and they are 4-2 on the season. How insane is that? Then we had the Arizona Cardinals at the Green Bay Packers. Packers absolutely obliterated the Cardinals in this one, 34-13. Jordan Love had a fantastic game, 22-32, 258 yards and 4 touchdowns. Josh Jacobs had 62 yards, and this Packers defense, man, I think they're one of the most underrated defenses in the league. I don't think a lot of people are paying attention to them for some reason, but they are getting the turnovers. They even had a huge fumble recovery in the fourth quarter, basically to seal the win for them. But this Green Bay Packers team, they are starting to look better each and every week. Even without Jordan Love, they were pretty decent, and now that Love is starting to get more and more healthy, he's really starting to click on all cylinders, and this Green Bay Packers team also looks pretty legit at 4-2. Then we have the Indianapolis Colts at the Tennessee Titans, and Joe Flacco, man, this guy, we all thought he was pretty much done a couple years ago. He comes in last year for the Browns as, like, what, the third, fourth-string quarterback, actually takes them to the playoffs. Now he's got the Colts playing pretty decent football right now. He went 22-38, 189 yards and 2 touchdowns yesterday in a 20-17 Indianapolis Colts win. And they look pretty decent. I mean, they were playing the Titans, who are just an absolutely atrocious team themselves. But, I mean, Joe Flacco, you got to give it up to this dude. He really is coming in and playing extremely efficient football and delivering passes that none of us really thought he could do anymore. And he's just really, he's filling some big shoes and filling some big roles. Now it's looking like Anthony Richardson is going to play next week. But I'm going to keep it real, man. If Anthony Richardson kind of plays weird, you might want to just put in Flacco. I mean, the Colts actually played pretty well with him. And I don't know, man. Like I said, he played well at the end of last season for the Browns. Just came off his couch, came right in, brought them to the playoffs. And now with the Colts and his two games that he started, he's looked pretty solid in those couple of games. Then we had the Houston Texans at the New England Patriots. Drake May, he finally got to to start a game for the New England Patriots in this one. He went 20 for 33, 243 yards, 3 touchdowns. So actually a pretty solid day in an ass-kicking by the Texans, though. The Texans got a huge win, 41 to 21. They just demolished the Patriots for the most part. I mean, this Texans defense had, even though Drake May had a solid day numbers-wise, dude was on his ass quite a bit. And so I really just look at this, and I'm not shocked by this. I mean, the Texans are damn good. But they really were able to get it going offensively yesterday. They got Joe Mixon back on the ground, who had 102 yards and a touchdown. And so you look at this Texans team, they look pretty damn strong right now. Then we had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the New Orleans Saints, one of the weirdest games of the day. Buccaneers come right out the gate and are up 17 to nothing. And then in the second quarter, the Saints go off for 27 points. So this game was actually going back and forth in the first half. Get to the second half, and the Tampa Bay Bucs just completely demolished them, 51 to 27. The Saints weren't able to get anything going in the third and fourth quarters, but the Bucs, they had no issues. Baker Mayfield, 24 for 36, 325 yards and 4 touchdowns. He did have a few interceptions as well, but I mean, overall, Baker Mayfield is just having a fan-fucking-tastic season. This guy is just shredding up defenses. It's nuts. And, I mean, Chris Godwin, huge day, 125 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Tucker at the running back position had 136 yards and a touchdown. And the Buccaneers were just completely able to demolish the Saints in a huge game yesterday. Now, the Saints, of course, were missing Derek Carr. So they didn't have him in the game. And they had Spencer Rattler in there. And so I kind of feel like it might have been a little bit of a closer game had they had Carr in there. But overall, this was just complete domination for the Buccaneers. From start to finish, other than that second quarter, but it was a big game for Baker Mayfield and the Bucs. Then we had the Cleveland Browns at the Philadelphia Eagles, and this turned out to be a total snooze fest. The Eagles are as terrible as I think the Eagles are. They could barely get by the Cleveland Browns yesterday, and this was the Browns are terrible. The Browns are probably the worst team in the league. I mean, just judging from play, I could be wrong because, I mean, you know, the Jaguars are pretty terrible too. The Titans pretty awful. But the Browns, they actually have talent, especially with Myles Garrett. But, I mean, you really look at it, Deshaun Watson is just awful. And they're going to stick with him. They're going to keep on sticking with them, and they might as well because that's what they got to do. They're paying the dude the big bucks. They don't want him sitting on the bench. But the Eagles were just able to hold onto this one, 20-16. Jalen Hurts was pretty good. He went 16 for 25, 264 yards and 2 touchdowns. But, you know, I reiterate with this, Hurts does not look comfortable in this offense at all. This offensive line, very shaky. It was nice for him because he did have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith back. Brown actually had 116 yards and a touchdown, so he had a big game. He actually was kind of like the difference in the game, if you will. But Jalen Hurts just does not look like he's comfortable. Every single game that I've watched of the Eagles so far this year, he looks like he just doesn't know what's going on. It kind of feels like he's not really into the game that much, and I just don't know what it is. It might be the new offensive coordinator. Maybe he just really doesn't like the head coach. I don't know what it is, but this Eagles team is really not good, even though they got the win over the Browns, who are just a absolutely trash can ass team. Then we had the Washington Commanders at the Baltimore Ravens, and this is the team that I feel that is separating themselves from everybody else, and that is the Baltimore Ravens, who got the win 30-23. This team is dominating on defense. This team is dominating on the ground, and they got the superstars to prove it to, and now they're starting to get it done through the air. Lamar Jackson, 20 for 26 yesterday, 323 yards and a touchdown. Derrick Henry, 132 yards and 2 touchdowns. Zay Flowers, 132 yards. This team is stacked to the building. They actually gave Jaden Daniels a run for his money yesterday. He actually looked pretty rookie-esque. He obviously didn't have a terrible game. He actually had a pretty decent game, but he looked like a rookie, and that's because this Baltimore Ravens defense is stout. They're really difficult to get past, and really, the crazy thing with this Ravens team, which is not shocking at all because Derrick Henry is the best running back in the league, you just give him the ball in the second half and he just takes down the clock. He usually gets you first downs and then he usually scores to top it off. So you got him, you got Lamar Jackson playing just excellent football right now. I mean, he's the reigning MVP and he is playing at MVP caliber level. To me, the Ravens have absolutely separated themselves from every team in the league to me. And they look like the front runners for the Super Bowl. Now we have a lot of football left to go, but each and every week the Ravens are getting stronger. They're getting better. They're beating good teams too. I look out for this Ravens team as the top Super Bowl contender at this point in time. Then we had the Los Angeles Chargers at the Denver Broncos. This was all Chargers all day. The score ended up being pretty close, 23-16, but that was just the Broncos going off in the fourth quarter, getting 16 points. But J.K. Dobbins had yet another solid game, 96 yards and a touchdown. Herbert had a solid day, 21 for 34, 237 yards and a touchdown. And the defense for the Chargers, they were causing turnovers like no other. They were wreaking havoc on those Denver Broncos. And the Chargers were able to walk away with a win over their division rivals. Then we had the Atlanta Falcons at the Carolina Panthers. This actually was a back-and-forth affair to start, but then the second half, it just was all Falcons all day. And the Falcons got the win 38-20. Kirk Cousins had a pretty decent day, 19 for 30, 225 yards and a touchdown. Their running back of choice for Atlanta was Algier. He had 105 yards and a touchdown. And, you know, the Panthers, they didn't have a terrible game to start. They actually made it very decent, but the Falcons were just able to just keep it going, and just push away towards the end of the game. And, I mean, the Panthers are just not a very good team, so it's not shocking that this is how it ended up. Then we had the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Las Vegas Raiders, and for once, the Steelers not only dominated on defense as they do, they dominated on offense as well, 32-13. That's a good-ass score for this Pittsburgh Steelers team. I mean, you don't expect that. I mean, Najee Harris, big day on the ground, 106 yards and a touchdown. But this Raiders team just looked terrible. They were only able to get a touchdown in the first quarter, and after that was just a couple field goals later, and it was just all Steelers all day in a completely dominating win by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Speaking of dominating wins, then we had the Detroit Lions at my Dallas Cowboys, who laid an absolute egg. The Lions completely demolished the Cowboys from start to finish, 47-9. This was a terrible fucking showing by the Dallas Cowboys. First of all, this defense is trash. They are the softest fucking defense in the world. They have so many times wrapped up the quarterback or the running back in the backfield for a loss, and then they just magically don't tackle him, and then magically they get a first down. It's so stupid. They can't tackle. They can't cover. They can't stop anything. It just feels like every time the defense comes out onto the field, I feel like the opposing offense is going to score every single time. They can't stop the run. And what sucks for them is they went up against a beast yesterday in the Lions. The Lions are legit as well. This is another team that I look at, not just after yesterday, but they're a team that's also been building as well, offensively, defensively, special teams. They really are a team that has it locked in and look really damn good. Now, unfortunately, Aiden Hutchinson smashed his leg up yesterday. What an it was like a UFC leg breaking. His fucking leg wrapped around his own dude's other leg. It was just one of those convergences of, man, you just hit the right spot at the right time, and his leg literally shattered in mid-freaking air. And unfortunately, he's done for the rest of the year. Now they're saying 4 to 6 months, but I'm going to keep it real. Let's look more into 2025 is when we're going to see Aiden Hutchinson back. But that is a huge blow to their defense. But just generally speaking, I think the overall as a team, the Detroit Lions are a stacked-ass team. They have obviously the best backfield in the game because they have Montgomery, who's just a bruiser, and then you've got Gibbs, who's the finesse guy. So you just got two great guys at running back. You have very reliable receivers with Amon-Ra St. Brown. and Laporta at tight end. And then you've got Jared Goff, who's just extremely efficient. I mean, he went 18 for 25 yesterday, 315 yards and three touchdowns. He just completely torched them. And then defensively, like I said, even without Aiden Hutchinson, I still think they're a very solid defense. So this was just a complete dominating game by the Lions and just an absolutely atrocious game by the Cowboys. Another thing about the Cowboys, this ground attack, non-existent ground attack. I don't know how on earth the Cowboys did not take care of the running back position in the offseason. And I know everybody's upset that they didn't get Derrick Henry, but let's just take Derrick Henry out of the equation and the money and everything. We didn't even go after like a mid-tier guy. Let's take a look at J.K. Dobbins out in Los Angeles right now for the Chargers. He's a mid-tier guy. We probably could have afforded him. We didn't even give him the time of fucking day. And he's lighting it up right now for the Chargers. So it's like we didn't even sign a guy like that. We went after old-ass Zeke, who got way too many snaps yesterday, too. What the fuck was that? Where Dowdle actually had a good couple of games these last 2 weeks, and he barely sees any snaps yesterday. Like, that made no sense. Even though I don't think Dowdle is going to be the saving grace at the running back position. But, you know, I love Zeke. I totally respect Zeke. I love what he's done for this organization throughout his time. But Zeke is washed. He can barely get one fucking yard at this rate. And we're putting that dude in here. And that's what I mean, man. We didn't even, like, take care of this running back position in the offseason. And you can't expect Dak to do everything. I'm sorry. Yeah, the interception in the red zone, stupid on his part. Absolutely stupid. But how about the three dropped passes? CD had one right in his hands that he dropped yesterday. Ferguson also had one in his hands that he dropped yesterday. And then Tolbert also had one right in his hands that he dropped yesterday. There were dropped passes. This defense is soft. This Cowboys team is just really awful to watch. And I'm not even going to lie. I watched the whole thing because I'm a real ass fan. I don't care how shitty my team is or how good my team is. I rep my Cowboys or any of my teams all day, every fucking day. And when they're on, I'll take the ass raping like I did yesterday. And I've done it many times. Trust me, there are so many games that are stuck in my head of me watching the Cowboys get demolished like they did yesterday. And it felt like this game was just never ending. I remember there was one point, it was the third quarter, and I'm like, shit. We still got like half the third quarter and the fourth quarter. And I felt like the fourth quarter was just never, ever ending. And it was terrible. But I watched the whole thing and was not happy with what I saw. And the Cowboys have a lot of work to do headed into this bye week. And it doesn't matter. Honestly, I know everybody's calling for Mike McCarthy's head, which honestly, I mean, if they fire him, they fire him. But I don't think that's going to change the trajectory of the season. Like I continue to say, I mean, what's going to improve this defense? How is this defense actually going to be a good-ass defense? Like, let's be honest. Like, look at that defense. They were terrible. They gave up 47 points. 40 fucking 7 points. Come on, y'all. That's soft. And in the ground attack, like I said, how is that going to improve? Unless we trade for somebody, which I don't know if that's out there, but at this point, it's kind of looking like the Cowboys season is a wash. Very early in the season, and like I was saying about the Eagles, they're a terrible team. Giants are a terrible team. Washington, I have questions about them, but it looks like Washington's the best team in the division, but there's no guarantees with that. So with all that being said, with how shitty the Cowboys are, they actually are still in it. But man, yesterday's game was terrible. All their home games have been terrible. They've been getting their asses beat in a few games, and I feel like it's going to be a very, very long season for us Cowboys fans because after the bye week, we go to San Francisco. So maybe we'll have us another 47-9 loss. I don't know. Anyways, on to the Sunday night football game, which was an absolute snooze fest between the Cincinnati Bengals and the New York Giants. Bengals got the win 17-7, but it was a struggle. These two teams, I mean, defensively, they both really actually played great defensively, but it was, oh my God, like Joe Burrow, he scored the first touchdown in the first quarter, and it's looking like, yeah, we're going to have a high-scoring affair here, and nobody wanted to score at all, and the Bengals were just able, to get the couple of scores that they needed to get the win. And then, of course, the Giants do what the Giants do. They missed a couple of field goals. They had some terrible, like, they would get a first down, and then they'd get a penalty. They would get a first down, and then they'd get a penalty. I mean, that's basically the story of the Giants season. So, yeah, the Giants got that loss, 17-7. Bengals, though, I would not say they're back, even though they got that win. They have some work to do as well. Moving on to Monday Night Football. In tonight's matchup, we have the Buffalo Bills at the New York Jets. Right now, the Bills are a 2.5-point favorite. So this is the first game for the Jets without Robert Saleh as the coach. I feel like that's going to give them a boost. I mean, at this point, to me, both of these teams are like the same team right now. They're both on losing streaks. So one of them has to win unless they tie tonight, which who would be shocked by that? But I mean, with the Bills, too reliant on Josh Allen, been saying it all season long. When they're high and he's able to just do what he wants to do, they're playing fantastic football. But then if good defense is able to lock down Josh Allen, this team is extremely ineffective. The Jets, they just have not found an identity. Defensively, pretty damn good. But still, they have their inconsistencies. Offensively, very, very inconsistent. I don't know if firing Saleh is going to help out the offense at all, but I kind of feel like since both of these teams are on like the same playing field tonight, I look at it, the Jets are at home. I feel like both of these teams are going to split the series. Since the Jets are at home, I feel like they really need a win. And their defense, I feel like it's just going to lock in on Josh Allen tonight. I have the Jets winning a close one, 24-21. And the homie Simon Ruvalcaba, he has the Buffalo Bills winning a close one, 27-20. Now moving on to the playoffs and the championship series. Let's see, the NLCS, we've already had game one. That was last night. The Dodgers smashed the New York Mets 9-0. Flaherty pitched a great game last night. Seven innings pitched, could not score on him. As a matter of fact, the Dodgers had 33 consecutive scoreless innings, which was a record, but notice I am saying was here because game two is actually currently on right now as I record. And right before I got on, it was amazing because I was watching the Mets just absolutely demolish the Dodgers. Looks like it's still going on. We are in the fourth inning and it's 6-0 Mets, man. They hit Vientos hit a grand slam. So it's looking beautiful right now in LA, at least in my opinion. Now, how do I think the rest of the series is going to turn out? I actually have the Mets winning this one in six games. The reason why I'm leaning towards the Mets is I think the Mets are on track to win the World Series right now. I said it after they beat the Phillies. This team is hot, and they're just that team. I'm looking at them. They took that last month of baseball in the regular season and just killed everybody and just came into the playoffs hot, on fire, pitching's on point, bullpen's on point. They're scoring runs. They aren't scared of anybody. They can win at home. They can win on the road. They can beat your best pitchers. They can beat your worst pitchers. This team is feeling themselves, and they just aren't scared of anybody. The Dodgers, on the other hand, they can score a lot of runs. As I just said, in game one, 9-0, that is complete and utter domination. And it was. It was just Dodgers all night last night. They couldn't be stopped for the most part. But once you get past Flaherty as their starting pitcher, they are so questionable at the pitching position, from the starting pitcher to the bullpen. They have so many injuries that they have to overcome. That to me, the Dodgers are just offense and offense alone, and that is not a championship-winning World Series caliber team, at least in my opinion. And that's why I have the Mets winning this series, because I think offensively they can keep up, obviously, since they're up 6-0 right now. And so they don't have any issues there, but it's their starting pitching. And right now, Manaea's pitching today, and he's pitching a gem, obviously, because it's still 6-0. I mean, he struck out Ohtani right to start off the game, and he really hasn't looked back at this point. So I just look at the Mets as they're just playing excellent baseball right now, and it's just they're too good to overlook. They already beat the Phillies, who I think were a better team than the Dodgers. So I got the Mets winning this series in six games. Then the ALCS, that begins tonight as well, game one, and then game two will be tomorrow on Tuesday. So Cleveland Guardians versus the New York Yankees, man. The Guardians, they took out the Tigers in that last game, so they were able to push it to the brink. Now, in this matchup, I think the Yankees just overall are the better team. The Guardians, terrible starting pitching. It's Bibee and nobody. They do have Class A, but he did get blown up in that last series. Now, he was able to recover. It was really, I think it was, what was it, game one, game two, where he got blown up by the Tigers? I think it was game one. But regardless, that's now, people are starting to get on base with you, and that does get in your head. But I don't think he's really going to be a factor in this one, because I just kind of feel like the Yankees, they have a much better starting pitching rotation than the Guardians. So I think they're going to be able to ride their starting pitchers a lot deeper. I think they're going to be able to score a lot more runs. I think they're just a better overall team. And I actually think the Yankees are going to win this one pretty easily in five games. I wouldn't be shocked if the Guardians push them to the brink, because that is what the Guardians do. The Guardians are actually historically, they've been a pretty solid playoff team, and they've known to cause some upsets over the years. But this Guardians team, I just don't believe in them. I haven't believed in them the last about 2 months, I would say. I've been kind of waiting for them to fall off, but here they are in the ALCS. I mean, I would not be surprised to see them in the World Series, but I just think the Yankees are the better team. I really don't think the Yankees are going to have any issues scoring on them, except for potentially against whenever Bibee starts. But I mean, the Yankees have a much deeper rotation, and Cole is very, very, very reliable in the postseason. So whatever game he pitches, it kind of feel like the Yankees already got that one locked in. But I've got the Yankees winning the ALCS in five games, which starts tonight. Now let's move on to my NBA season predictions. I already did the Western Conference on Friday's show, so I'm going to go ahead and do the Eastern Conference today. So let's begin with the Atlantic Division, which I have, of course, the Boston Celtics winning this division again. I mean, the Boston Celtics, they right now, not only are they the defending champs, but they're just a team that they've had the most solid core, that stayed together the longest. And I feel like they're not going to fall off unless injuries happen, of course. But I mean, they've got the same team. They've got Tatum. They've got Jaylen Brown. I just don't really see them falling off. And until somebody actually plays some consistent basketball and is able to knock them off, I can't do that. And so I've got, of course, Boston reigning their division, of course, actually reigning the Eastern Conference still. Then finishing at number two in the Atlantic Division, I have the New York Knicks. I think the addition of Karl Anthony Towns is great for them. I felt like Randall, I love Randall personally, just because he used to be a Laker. He's a great defender, and he's just a solid player. But what sucked for the Knicks is it felt like every time he would get going, he would get injured. And that's just his problem. Now, Karl Anthony Towns has also had his issues with injuries. But if you look at last year, when a lot of the pressure was taken off of Karl Anthony Towns as the number one guy, it kind of seemed like his game was a lot better. And I feel like going to New York is a good move for him. You know, he's going to be teamed up with Jalen Brunson, who just had a phenomenal year last year. And I just look at the Knicks as being a very, very good team this year. I think they're going to dominate from start to finish. Now, like I said, they're finishing second in the division simply because I think Boston's the more consistent team. But I wouldn't be shocked if them and Boston are actually, you know, going back and forth and making it a battle all the way till the end of the season for this division. But since the Boston Celtics are more consistent to me, I can't pick the Knicks just yet, especially because I don't know how Karl Anthony Towns actually is going to fit in with this team. But I think he does fit in with this team. I think they need another reliable scorer. That's what Karl Anthony Towns brings. He's good at the three-pointer. He's going to give them some points in the paint. So we'll see what we got with the Knicks. They definitely lost some defense with Randall, but I think they gained a better player and a player who's going to fit well with Brunson in this offense. So I've got the Knicks finishing second in the Atlantic Division. finishing third in the Atlantic Division at the Philadelphia 76ers. The big addition they made in the offseason was for Paul George, which I think is a good move. I think he's going to fit in with Embiid. My only problem is with this Philadelphia 76ers team is, you know, I always buy into them, and then they let me down with injuries, or they just can't get it together, consistency, or just they're never a legitimate team that ever is reliable to me. So that's why I've got them finishing in third. I wouldn't be shocked if they were a team that actually is competitive this year, but until they actually are consistently competitive, I am no longer buying into the Philadelphia 76ers until they give me a reason to buy into them. But I do think Paul George going to fit in with Maxey, going to fit in with Embiid. You know, Embiid is playing great this summer, but I don't know if he's going to be able to, you know, last an entire season, which has always been an issue with him. Finishing in fourth place in the Atlantic Division at the Brooklyn Nets. They're just a terrible team. There's really nothing to say about this team. They have nobody on the roster besides Ben Simmons, and we all know that dude's a bum. And so if that's the best you got on your roster, well, good luck on you. And then finishing in fifth in the Atlantic Division, I have the Toronto Raptors, an equally terrible team just right there with the Brooklyn Nets. They don't really have anybody good on their roster, and they're just, I feel like, going to be one of the worst teams in the league this season. Moving on to the Southeast Division, I have the Miami Heat winning this division. You know, they've got Jimmy Butler, they've got Terry Rozier, who they added last year. They traded for him about at the trade deadline. Then you've got Bam Adebayo, you've got Hero. This is a pretty stacked team, and this is a pretty weak-ass division. So I just kind of look at the Miami Heat as being the best roster, the best team, and they should actually easily win this division with no issues. Finishing in second, I actually have the Orlando Magic, who I actually think, you know, they're going to bounce off of last year and be an improved team. I mean, they were already pretty good last year. They made the playoffs, but then they were bounced out pretty quick. But they did add KCP in the offseason. He was with the Nuggets, so he's got some championship pedigree. He's been around the league for a while, so he's a wily vet who can really bring together these young guys who I think need a vet to help them elevate to the next level, which Orlando could potentially do this year, but I don't think they're anywhere near as talented as the Miami Heat, which is why they're nowhere near the Heat, in my opinion, in this division. Then finishing in third in the Southeast Division, I have the Atlanta Hawks. Nothing's really going on here. It's always with this team. Are they trading Trae Young? Are they keeping Trae Young? Is he happy? Blah, 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 blah. That's probably going to be another year of that, and they have a terrible roster, a terrible team. Who gives a fuck about Atlanta? Then finishing in fourth in the Southeast Division, I have the Charlotte Hornets. Pretty much all they are is LaMelo Ball. This team does nothing to improve their roster. I don't know what the hell this team is doing. They're basically wasting LaMelo Ball's amazing career, because LaMelo's a fun player to watch, but he's never going to make the postseason unless he gets traded or something of that nature, because Charlotte just is terrible. And then finishing in fifth place in the Southeast, I have the Washington Wizards, just another terrible-ass team. Nothing good to say about them. Moving on. Then in the Eastern Conference in the Central Division, finishing in first place, I have the Indiana Pacers. As a matter of fact, I think the Indiana Pacers are going to be one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. I think they're definitely going to make some noise all season long, but I think they're going to be one of those teams that makes some noise come postseason as well. I just like Halliburton. I think he's just going to get better with another year under his belt. Siakam, he got traded there. He had to kind of work his way in, and now I think he's just going to a whole off season with this team. I think he and Halliburton are going to get things together, and then of course Miles Turner, another guy who had a solid year last year. I feel like this Indiana Pacers team is actually going to pretty much dominate their division for sure, but I think they're going to be one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. Then finishing in second place in the Central Division, I have the Milwaukee Bucks. They're a good team. They've got a good roster, and of course they've got Giannis, who's one of the top players in the league, but they're old, and I just kind of feel like they're going to be battling through injuries for the most part throughout the season because they have such an old roster. So I just don't really see them dominating like they used to. As a matter of fact, to me, I feel like the Milwaukee Bucks window is closing each and every year, just because they haven't really added in any youth. They haven't added in any, you know, they got Lillard last year, but they just haven't added in any younger guys, because at this point, I mean, it kind of feels like Giannis gets hurt, then he comes back, and then Middleton gets hurt, and then Middleton comes back, and then Lillard gets, it's just like they all just get hurt, and it's just rotating injuries, and they're a good team, good roster. If they're able to not get injured, but I just kind of feel like it's inevitable at this point with them because the roster is so old. I feel like they're going to be competitive, but I feel like the injuries are probably going to be what ends up being their demise for the most part. Then at number three in the Central Division, I have the Cleveland, I almost called them the Guardians, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Just with them, they have a lot of talent, but they just haven't put it together. They're not a good defensive team. And then I kind of look at them with Indiana and Milwaukee. Those are two good defensive teams, and that's a problem for them because I just feel like in the paint, they're going to have issues when they go up against teams like that. But when they go up against finesse teams, I think they'll be fine. And then, you know, they are in the Eastern Conference, so I kind of feels like they'll stand out in certain ways against shittier teams. But once they go up, you know, they've got Indiana and Milwaukee in their own division. You got Boston, New York, and Philadelphia, and Miami, who I think are just much better teams than them. So with the Cavaliers, they're a crapshoot team to me. I feel like they're going to get some good wins. They might go on some good runs, but overall, they're a team I just don't think stands out above the rest. Then finishing in fourth place in the Central Division, I've got the Detroit Pistons because they had the worst year of their entire franchise last year. So basically, how can you be worse than last year? I think all they could do is go up from here. So I think the Detroit Pistons will be better than last year. Does not mean they're going to be a good team, but I think they will be better than last year. And rounding out the Central Division, I have the Chicago Bulls. They are a terrible team. Now, it looks like Lonzo Ball, who has not played in 2 years because of knee injuries, he's had multiple knee surgeries, he's apparently going to be playing this year. I don't think it matters. Wouldn't be shocked if he gets injured again. But this Chicago Bulls team is just awful. They have some talented guys, but that's it. They haven't been able to put together. And honestly, I just feel like they're going to be that team where it's like, okay, so when are we trading this player? When are we trading this player? And they're just going to be that team who we just keep hearing about unless somebody gets traded. All the way up until the trade deadline, we're probably going to hear about this entire roster, or at least a few guys on the roster who are good, or who at least have talent and could actually improve other decent teams around the league. I just look at the Chicago Bulls as just being an awful team, and I think they're going to be worse than the Detroit Pistons. That's how bad I think the Chicago Bulls are going to be this year. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports. Let's see what the score is. Oh, it's still 6-0. New York Mets, fifth inning. I don't know, Dodgers. You might lose one at home. Now, there's still plenty of game left, but it's not looking good for you, Dodgers, but it's looking good for me because I'm fuck the Dodgers all day, every day. So enjoy the rest of the week of sports, y'all, and I will talk to you on Wednesday.